And just like that, mandatory mini camps have come and gone, a really action-packed couple of weeks. What a way to whet our appetites for what will be a fantastic NFL season in 2021. Coming up, someone here is going to pick Washington to win the NFC East, even though the quarterback could, quote, turn into a pumpkin. And you can guess what Marcus Spears thinks wins that division, probably the Cowboys. Welcome to NFL Live, everyone. Later, Josh Allen will take a step up after last season, or will he regress? We'll tell you. We got a Bills discussion coming from Bills Mafia. Mina Kimes and Marcus Spears here. Diana Russini joining us as well. And we begin with the Rams. So Matt Stafford has expectations through the roof in L.A., despite the fact that they may be competing in the toughest division in all of football. Sean McVay has been practically giddy during camp, talking about his quarterback and the possibilities offensively coupled with McVay's scheme. Apparently, DeSean Jackson agrees, saying this on NFL Network about the Rams' offense.
With a quarterback like, you know, Matthew Stafford, man, it's really mind-boggling for other defenses or defensive coordinators to really be sitting back like, man, how are we going to stop these dudes, man? And, you know, for me, I done been on some pretty good receiving corps, you know, but, you know, Robert and Coop, you know, with the additions to Van and Tutu, like, man, it's going to be scary, man.
Last season, the Rams offense ranked top 10 in the NFL in yards after the catch, pass block win rate, and in rushing. But their biggest weakness was quarterback play, ranking 21st in total QBR in golf. They're hoping Matthew Stafford can be that missing puzzle piece that completes this puzzle, which, as Jackson said, could be a really scary sight for opposing defenses. Marcus, as a defender, is this Rams offense scary?
Yeah, they scary. So allow me to whet everybody's appetite, L Boogie. I don't know what that meant, but I'm going to go along with it. Okay, listen, this is the point where we start talking about teams that are going to be in competition with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And you can squarely center your eyes on the Los Angeles Rams. And yes, they should be a very scary offense. When you think about what Matt Stafford was brought in to do, it was to elevate this team to a Super Bowl. It was to create more offense. Sean McVay got termed or deemed the prodigal. He was the guy that was creativity. Him and Kyle Shanahan were the two guys. Now you have a quarterback that can get you through moments, overcome bad moments when things aren't working well. And I believe that was the knock on Jared Goff, is that when everything wasn't working perfectly is when he started to show his true colors and not be able to overcome those things. But Deshaun talked about it with him. You got a guy that can take the top off of a defense. You got Van Jefferson, that's a big body. You still got Robert Woods, who is that jet sweep motion action. Get him the ball, make plays. And Cooper Kupp, very underrated. Cam Akers in the backfield. They should be scary.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Marcus, when they traded for Stafford, the Rams did so hoping that they could see an effect similar to what you saw in Green Bay last year with Aaron Rodgers, which is what happens when you take a Shanahan-McVay offense, which is, of course, inherently quarterback-friendly, and you drop in a quarterback who's not replacement level, who can, as you said, elevate the offense. It's no coincidence that DeSean Jackson is excited about this, because the difference that Matt Stafford brings, aside from his second reaction ability, and his creativity and the fact that he doesn't have to always play in structure, is his explosive play potential. The Rams also, in addition to all the skill players you mentioned, they drafted Tutu Atwell, who's a speedster, with their first draft pick this year. This offense is going to air it out. I think it's going to be very difficult for opposing defenses in the NFC West and beyond to deal with.
All right, Marcus, let's talk. We're trying to get Diana Russini in here, by the way, just letting you guys know what's going on. So she froze up again. We'll get her back.
Well, but, you know, I love to talk. What's up?
Yeah, well, I know. So I got something for you. So when you think about the difference in quarterbacks, we've illustrated it very well about how this could be a step up. But there was something that Stafford was plagued with in Detroit, and it was the turnovers. So any concern, Marcus, that we see more of that in L.A.?
L Boogie, it's a direct correlation with him being in Detroit. It's called pressing. It's called feeling like you're the only one that can manufacture offense. And to Mina's point, that's what's been, that is the hope in Los Angeles, is that Sean McVay can ease the load that Matthew Stafford has had to carry for a long time after Calvin Johnson decided to retire, because that was a different animal. He was special. That's why he's going into the Hall of Fame. Calvin Johnson, I'm talking about. But the bottom line is, yes, He should be fine, and the turnover shouldn't be a problem in this game.
Well, he's no longer going to be relying on 50-50 balls to Kenny Golladay for like half of the production this offense. I mentioned Rodgers earlier. A big part of the reason why the Packers offense was so successful, because LaFleur was there the year before, was that Aaron Rodgers bought into the system, and then he elevated it. And that, to me, is what Matt Stafford needs to do. He is going to see more wide-open receivers this year than he has his entire career. He needs to let those plays develop, buy into McVay's system, and if he does, the Rams will profit.
All right, by the way, wet, W-H-E-T, to sharpen or to hone, and our appetites officially whetted here on NFL Live. Lots of big stories from this week's mandatory minicamp. Let's run through a couple, starting in Seattle. Seems like all is sunshine and roses between Russell Wilson and the Seahawks front office and coaching staff, despite a tumultuous offseason where it seemed he wanted out. This is what he did at Pete Carroll's press conference this week.
What's up?
Just letting everybody know we're still friends, you know?
Hey.
Just messing with you.
There you go. Get out of here. You had your press conference.
Cringing. Mina, is all the Russ drama from the offseason a big deal?
I don't think it's a big deal this season. I've said it before. They were never trading Russell Wilson. They had no reason to. Next season might be a bit of a storyline. But no, there, it wasn't just Pete Carroll there. John Schneider, the GM, got in with the little peace sign. And to me, he's more important than any looming drama or issues with Russ, because he's the one who had to go and get the players that Russell Wilson wanted and potentially will be negotiating an extension with him.
Marcus, report out of Miami, where Tua struggled this week, including the 5 interceptions at Tuesday's practice. Is that a big deal?
No, not at all. And I would love for him to get it out of his system now and try to take those chances. One thing we talked about, Tua, he's safe with the football. Well, in this league, in order to ascend, you have to take chances. So the more and more he can get comfortable and throw these picks while he's in training camp and it's not costing them anything in the win-loss column, do it now, and let's not do it when the season starts. No concern, no big deal.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, get this. Bengals wide receivers average just 2.4 yards of separation, the fewest of any wide receiver group in the NFL last season. Cincinnati's front office looked to address that right this offseason, drafting Ja'Marr Chase in the first round. But it's another receiver that's been getting Joe Burrow's attention in camp. That's T. Higgins.
Big difference. He looks like a different guy out there. You know, we were throwing the deep balls, and, you know, the first couple I underthrew a little bit, and I was like, geez, T., you know, where did that come from? I didn't really expect that from him, and he's getting out of there this year. We have some horses on offense that I'm really excited about. He's going to have a big year.
Diana Rossini is here. Prayers up for technology. Diana, that's what the quarterback had to say, right? But what are you hearing out of Cincinnati?
Well, look, you don't need to really reach out to sources in that organization and to the players to hear the maturity in Joe Burrow's voice, but let's just start with that, just from the leadership aspect. We've always known that Joe has really embraced that role. And I was told that he's already taken that sophomore step already in just a year, knowing what he's dealt with. But let's talk about his injury, right? So we've heard nothing but positive news. We know that Schefter has been reporting he should be good to go by the start of the season. And really, from what I can gather in terms of information, he's going to be good to go by training camp. One of the quotes I got through text message is, Joe actually looks exactly the same as he did when he was healthy. As for the chemistry between him and Chase, because let's face it, we're all excited to see what that's going to be, what that's going to look like. It's like they were meant to play together, someone from the Bengals organization shared with me. So obviously tons of confidence. We know it's just the spring, but the fact that they're on the same page here and nothing but positive things coming out is really just a good start for this offense that should take a step forward.
Man, that sticks out to me that somebody said Joe looks almost the same or exactly the same as he did before he got hurt. It's good to hear. They got to keep him protected, though. Marcus, how do you see this offense playing out with those horses, as Joe Burrow called them?
This is a really talented young group of skill position players. And obviously the elephant in the room is whether the offensive line will be able to protect Joe and keep him upright. But focusing on the guys that he'll be throwing the football to and even handing it off. Joe Mixon played 7 games last year, but he's a really good running back when he's in that lineup. T. Higgins went for 900 yards last year receiving, y'all. Like, they have playmakers. Tyler Boyd as well, and obviously you draft Ja'Marr Chase. Joe Burrow should feel real good about what the potential of his skill position players are. And look, I'm going to say it now. If the Cincinnati Bengals get this right, from a lot of elements, and Mina's going to talk about one of them, so I'm going to leave that for her. They have a nucleus of young guys that they will be able to depend on going forward that can make plays. I believe Joe is the franchise guy for a long time. I believe these receivers can be dynamic together and even as individuals. And Joe Mixon staying healthy gives them at least a top 15 back in the NFL. So be careful about just throwing Cincinnati to the wayside and saying that, oh, it's just the Bengals. These young guys are going to have something to say about this division and this season this year.
Yeah, Marcus, I have three, beyond Joe Burrow's health, three kind of big questions about the Bengals offense. One you touched on, can this line protect Joe Burrow? Another one is Zach Taylor, the head coach, I think is going to be under a great deal of pressure this season to improve the offense. That is his bread and butter. But something that occurred to me when we heard Joe Burrow talk about throwing to T. Higgins was, can the deep ball improve? Because that was the biggest weakness last season. On passes of 15 yards or less, Joe Burrow ranked 8th in QBR, 20 yards or more, 31st. And you know from watching him at LSU throwing the ball, the deep ball, to Ja'Marr Chase, he can do it. He doesn't have the strongest arm in the world, but he's exceptionally accurate and has a keen sense of timing, which are just as important to throwing a deep ball as arm strength. So the hope, I believe, is that the selection of Ja'Marr Chase, who will certainly boost those tight separation numbers you saw, will unlock that part of Joe Burrow's game, because that was his biggest weakness last year, and I think it's the aspect that's most likely to take a step forward this season.
Yeah, you know, if Joe Burrow starts getting hit a bunch, we're going to be talking about should they have drafted Penei Sewell. But even just seeing Ja'Marr Chase in that practice footage, I think people forgot how great he was because he sat out last college football season. That's going to be fun to see.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
There are plenty of talented pass-rushing duos in the NFL. The newest combo of Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney for the Browns entering the chat. Over the last 3 seasons, Garrett and Clowney ranked 3rd and 5th, respectively, in pass rush win rate, beating their blocks in less than 2.5 seconds over 25% of the time. Here's what Clowney had to say about teaming up with Garrett in Cleveland.
It's funny. I haven't ran into many guys like that in the National Football League yet. Took me 8 years to get here to find another one like that. On defense, anyways. But it's great. I just know he's going to go out there and do his thing, knowing what type of guy I'm looking at. I know he's going to ball and do his thing, so I'm excited about that.
Marcus, how high are your expectations for this duo?
Very high, but I'm still waiting to see if Jadeveon Clowney is going to be able to get to the quarterback and put him on the ground. Good football player, and it's always different when we're talking about Jadeveon Clowney, because when you're taking number one overall, quite frankly, people expect you to have 15 sacks a year. That's just where you are. And the guy opposite of him has been delivering that. But the last time we saw Jadeveon Clowney lined up next to a generational talent who was J.J. Watt at the time, that was his best seasons in the NFL. Hopefully, he can recreate some of that with Myles Garrett being opposite.
Seems like their chemistry's already there, at least. The Patriots revamped their entire roster this offseason, including signing top edge rusher Matthew Judon in free agency. Here's what he had to say about the Pats' pass rush. Oh, I'm going to read it for you. I'd love to say we're going to be the best pass rush, but if we don't go out and execute, we don't execute. We have guys who know how to go out and rush the passer, but first of all, I have to do my job, whatever the call is. All right, I sounded just as cool as he would have. Mina, when you think about the scheme, how does that factor in with the Pats?
I think this is a perfect fit. I mean, it already sounds like he's been there forever. Do my job. That's New England speak. But, you know, Matthew Judon benefited from playing in Baltimore. It's a very blitz-happy defense, and he got a lot of unblocked pressures. But the New England Patriots also have a very schemed-up pass rush. It's not about lining up a guy and asking him to beat double teams. It's about confusing quarterbacks. And they will undoubtedly improve from last season with the addition of Judon, the drafty, and Christian Barmore, Ronnie Perkins. I love Josh Uche. I'm really excited to watch this group work this season.
The Raiders look to address their defensive needs this offseason by signing defensive end Yannick Ngakoue. Just after 2 days on the job in Vegas, Yannick Ngakoue sees great things from him and his bookend edge rusher, Max Crosby. Listen to this.
I think that Max and myself are the best duo that's going to come hit the scene. And I'm already putting that out there. And I feel like the NFL has, you know, they kind of shied away from that, and that's cool. But Max is a hard worker. He's a guy that is putting in the work. Literally, I'm lifting weights right now. Max is in there doing things to get better. So it's the dedication, the commitment. And I can play all day with a guy like that.
All right, high praise about himself and his teammate from Ngakoue. So that got us thinking. After we heard from him, we had to ask you, Marcus, who are the top five pass rush duos in the NFL right now? Start with number five and give us your list.
Yes, first, no shade to Yannick, but they're not in the damn list. Okay,
uh-oh.
Number five.
Sorry.
Starts with the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt. I thought this J.J. Watt acquisition was huge. Chandler Jones doesn't get enough respect in the NFL for how tremendous he is. And I know he was injured last year, but he is a premier pass rusher in the NFL. He changes games. He makes those critical type plays, and he's just a craftsman at his work and what he does. Four in the spot. I had to put this list together, and I'm a little nervous about it from this standpoint. I don't know. Come on with the video, y'all. I don't know what Leonard Floyd is going to do, but damn it, you don't make a list without Aaron Donald being on it, and you're talking about defensive line play. So I have the LA Rams at number four between him and Leonard Floyd as the pair that is going to wreak havoc on opposing quarterbacks this year. Aaron Donald understands where they are. He understands the pressure that's mounting on Sean McVay. He has to, again, show the legitimacy of his stardom. Third, Von Miller's coming back, y'all.
Ooh.
And Bradley Chubb, it will be opposite of him. And I think these two guys are as pure of pass rushers as you can possibly get. They can be dominant in games. They can take over games. Reminds me of Super Bowl-type tandem when it was Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. Just the dynamics have changed. Von is the older guy. Bradley Chubb coming in as the young gun, able to get after the passer. And I know Mina loves Fangio's defense, so they'll be getting after it. Number two, JPP and Shaq Barrett. Yes, the Super Bowl champions. But they showed and paid their dividends throughout that playoff run. We all know how dynamic JPP has been. And also physical at the point of attack, too. He plays the run, people. I have a lot of respect for guys like that. And then when we get to Shaq Barrett, 3 sacks in the NFC Championship. We know what he did in the Super Bowl. He got his money, and he's a sack artist, and they play for the reigning Super Bowl champions. And one last, but absolutely not least, Montez Sweat and Chase Young. This young dynamic duo will wreak havoc on the NFL this year. Listen, you got to determine who you're going to block. And don't forget, the guys on the interior, Deron Payne and Jonathan Allen, are no chop liver either. But this is the next wave of the young guns in the NFL. Chase Young, Montez Sweat, devastating to opposing offenses, especially on third down.
All right, let me just remind people what we got here. Number five, J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones with Arizona. Number four, Aaron Donald and Leonard Floyd with the Rams. You got Bradley Chubb and Von Miller at number three. And then number two would be JPP and Shaq Barrett with the Bucks. And then you just saw it, Montez Sweat and Chase Young. Oh, there's the list. Thank you, guys. What do you think, Mina? Who's he missing?
Woo! Okay. Few thoughts. One, anyone could line up next to Aaron Donald and get some sacks. I could, honestly. I got a mean bull rush. Washington shouldn't be higher than the Bucks. I'm sorry. I love Montez Sweat and Chase Young. They're really fun, young duo. I think the group is excellent, but the Bucks have the best duo. To me, the pairing that I would throw into the mix, and I'm going to say this loudly because I feel like I don't give the Steelers a lot of love lately, T.J. Watt and Cam Hayward. Cam Hayward is one of the most underrated defensive linemen in the NFL. And with the absence of Bud Dupree, he's going to matter that much more with this team. I'm cheating because I didn't say who I would drop out of the list, Marcus, which is not really fair. But I think Cam Hayward and T.J. Watt do deserve consideration.
Oh, they absolutely had consideration. But I thought about this too, Mina. And you make a great point. How will they look without Bud Dupree? Hmm. Like, how effective will they be going forward? That's something that came into my mind. I'm trying to project. And when I project on this list, Montez Sweat and Chase Young off the edge, listen, I'm with you. We could argue this until the cows come home. I had Myles Garrett and Jadeveon Clowney thinking that. I want to see if Clowney is going to be able to get to the quarterback and get him on the ground. But right now, man, this young duo in Washington, in that defense, they devastating.
Hey, Mina, who are you dropping out of the list to add those Steelers guys in there?
Oh, maybe Leonard Floyd and Donald, just because I think Donald is the guy.
You don't make a list without Aaron Donald.
Right.
You
just put him on another list by himself, right? I don't know. Anyway, it's
he's
big for Leonard this year.
He's the best player in the NFL.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
You heard Bucks GM Jason Light there back in early May talking about his quarterback playing until he's 50. Brady was asked about playing until he's 50, told USA Today, quote, 50? That's a long time, even for me. A long time. I've always said 45 was the age that I wanted to reach, and that was my goal. This year I'll be 44, so next year I'll be 45. I got a 2-year contract, so I'm going to be able to play, obviously, this year. God forbid anything happens, but play next year and then see what happens after that. All right, so here's the thing. Marcus, you want to see Brady playing at 50?
Hell no, I don't want to see him playing at 50. I think if Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl this year, he's going to ride off in the sunset and let Tampa Bay do their thing. I don't think he's going to play till he's 45. You get another Super Bowl, he's going to shut it down and start selling that TB12 all over the place.
He's already selling it. Mina.
I don't even think Brady wants to play until he's 50 based on that quote. Like, I mean, even thinking about that makes me feel tired. Goodness. No, I think maybe 2 more years and that's it.
All right, speaking of oldster quarterbacks, Ryan Fitzpatrick turns 39 this season. He's ready to try and take Washington to the next level. But is he a short-term fix, or could his tenure in Washington be a little longer than expected? You see him out there looking spry on the practice field. Head coach Ron Rivera isn't ready to commit to any sort of time frame for his new quarterback. He's a big fan. He told the Washington Post, quote, there's nothing that says Ryan Fitzpatrick can't be the guy for a while. If this dude continues to play at the level he has and with Brady showing everybody that these veteran guys can do it, just ask Phil Mickelson, he'll tell you, then why not? Why would we want to move on? If things go well with Ryan, why wouldn't we want to bring that guy back? All right, I do think what Tom Brady is doing is in rarefied air. Marcus is rolling his eyes, so we'll get to that in just a minute. But Diana, first, how is Fitzpatrick viewed within the organization?
Yeah, Laura, those are beautiful June glasses that Ron Rivera is looking through right now, right? Why not? Be optimistic. So after I saw the quote, I did a little digging on it just to find out what's the reality in Washington right now with how they view, or at least how they view Ryan Fitzpatrick. And look, I feel like this is obvious because it seems that every team that Ryan...
Oh. Oh. All right. I'm giving her a chance, but Diana is frozen, officially frozen. We'll see if we can get her back. All right, Mina, how do you see this Ryan Fitzpatrick experiment working out in Washington? Because we know there can be two extremes here.
Yeah, that's putting it lightly, Laura. I mean, if Ryan Fitzpatrick plays like he did last season in Miami, this team wins the division. I think, quite easily. Frankly, maybe that's a little bit too strong, actually. You know when you give a really hard take and then you want to back off? I'm going to do that because I do love the Dallas offense.
Marcus is so strong.
Well, I don't want to say anything I don't actually believe, but I do believe if Fitzpatrick plays like he did last year that they'll win the division because this is an offense that was held back by quarterback play last season. It's an offense that went out and improved at with their skill players. Adding Curtis Samuel, drafting Diami Brown, coupled with Terry McLaurin. I think that's a really complimentary group of players. Antonio Gibson, one of the best young backs in the NFL. My one concern for this offense is the tackle position on the offensive line. They did sign Charles Leno last with the Bears. But Ryan Fitzpatrick can really mitigate those issues potentially like he did in Miami. He actually had the second quickest time to throw in the NFL last year. Behind Ben Roethlisberger, 2.38 seconds. That will really help their offensive line. I understand, again, to go back to the conditional if I put on Ryan Fitzpatrick, we have seen a lot of variance over the course of his career, so I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but if he plays like he did last year, this is a much better football team.
Oh, you're getting the eyes.
I brought paperwork.
What you doing?
I brought paperwork.
He's got papers. Let's see it.
Listen, Mina, to your point, like, first let me say, I agree with you on the terms of if, but that's always the question, right? Ryan Fitzpatrick last full season was 2015. Played 9 games last year, went 4-3. It was nothing spectacular, but I think we love this guy so much that we want to see him successful. No matter what, there will be personal feelings when it comes to Ryan Fitzpatrick because I love the guy. I want him to play quarterback for my team, seeing the things that he's done. I'm not as bullish on Ryan Fitzpatrick as everybody else. It has absolutely nothing to do with the Cowboys. It has nothing to do with the Giants or the Philadelphia Eagles. The level of consistency that he's going to need to play with, he just hadn't shown that in a long time. It's been up, it's been down. We all understood the situation in Miami with them trying to get Tua involved in the offense, which could have hindered him at some point. But I'm not ready to say that Ryan Fitzpatrick is the common denominator between the Washington football team dominating this conference when we all know the best quarterback resides in Dallas, Texas. Mm.
Yeah, well, you know I agree with you on that, but I took a long look at the Cowboys' depth chart on defense, and that's what had me sort of wavering on my Cowboys' division stance, which we can talk about later. The thing about Washington, Marcus, though, is they have the best defense. You would agree with me there. It's not close. But
yeah,
this
down.
Was the 32nd ranked passing attack in the NFL last year. They don't need to be great, and they still won the division. They just need to be average on offense. And I think Ryan Fitzpatrick can get you average. It's going to be inconsistent. There's going to be turnovers. There's going to be stretches where he looks better than others. But I can tell you this. It's going to look better than it did last season.
Hey, Marcus, I'm going to you in a second, but let me just point something out here. I'm going to be a very poor man's Diana Russini as we're dealing with her technology, but I wanted to add this because this is her information. It's really good here. To your point, Mina, one of Diana's pieces of reporting is that this is the stability that they needed from a quarterback standpoint on this team. Fitzpatrick provides that stability, and that's how they feel. Now, when you think about stability, you can look at that a few different ways. But, Marcus, how did that piece of information make you feel?
It doesn't change a damn thing for me. Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing that's driving me crazy, okay? I can see it. I can understand why people are picking the Washington football team, and some people are even picking the New York Giants because of what they did in the moves. Do we not identify what happened to the Cowboys last year? Are we just going to move all that stuff to the wayside
it's the
and
defense.
Not even acknowledge the defense sucked? because of the defensive coordinator. I don't expect them to be that bad this year. And I expect their offense to be at least top five, top seven in the NFL. I need to settle down. Let me calm down, Mina.
Go ahead, Mina.
I'm with you. You know how I feel about Dak Prescott. You know how I feel about these skill players. I think Dallas has a top five offense in the NFL. But I also think Washington has a top five defense in the NFL. I've said this before, and I'll say it again.
MK.
It comes down to which of the weaker units can hit average. Can the Cowboys' defense hit average?
MK.
Can Washington's offense hit average?
I got to get my sister on my side, L Boogie. I got to get MK on my side.
I don't think you're going to get her there.
Mina, as great as they were, they still lost seven games last year. Like, I get it. I understand. But we're talking about the Washington football team like they about to come out and just drub everybody in the NFC East. I don't believe that to be the case.
Yeah. Hey, you know it's real when Marcus massages his own head. You know, like you do your own little personal head massage.
Because I don't like getting,
relax.
I don't like fighting with my sisters.
I know, but you know, it's got to happen sometimes.
I don't like fighting with y'all.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for a new segment here on NFL Live. We're calling it Step Up or Step Back. I'll give you guys some incredible numbers from a player that had a career year in 2020. And then I want each of you to tell me, will that player step up, stay at a high level, or take a step back? Marcus, we are starting with you, and we begin with Leonard Williams. No player improved their sack total more than Leonard Williams last season. Went from a half sack in 2019 to 11 and a half sacks last season. So, Marcus, does Williams step up, remain a top pass rusher, and do you expect him to return to his 2019 form?
Absolutely, I expect him to step up. Leonard Williams found his groove, and sometimes D linemen, especially when in the sack category, it comes in waves, and it's like a shooter. You see the shot go down, and you start to realize the things that are working for you, and you can see his confidence continue to build as the season went along. Patrick Graham has him in a great scheme as well. And he has big guys on the inside. Dexter Lawrence is still there that can eat up blockers and maybe command double teams because they can just push the pocket. I was concerned when they lost Dalvin Tomlinson about Leonard Williams' production, but I think Leonard Williams is still on the ascend, and I believe he'll be big for the New York Giants in their bout to win the NFC East.
No player with at least 100 touches in 2019 and 2020 saw a larger jump in scrimmage yards than running back David Montgomery with over 430-plus yards. He also averaged a full yard more per touch. Mina, potentially a rookie quarterback to deal with in Justin Fields. Do you expect Montgomery to step up or step back this season?
Laura, I think he steps up, and I think it's because of that rookie quarterback. So it's a conditional step up. It has to be alongside Justin Fields, because I'll tell you this, nothing helps a running back more, aside from improvements on the offensive line, which is a concern in Chicago, than having a quarterback next to him who is a threat to run the football, because defenses have to account for that extra man. Justin Fields, we know, can run the football. If Chicago uses him the way he should be used, which is as a rushing threat, David Montgomery will benefit from that in the backfield.
Stephon Diggs more than doubled his reception total in 2020 compared to 2019 with 64 more receptions. He not only led the league in receptions, but recorded the sixth most receptions in a season in NFL history. Marcus, you think Diggs is going to step up, continue to play at this level, or do you see him stepping back to what we saw with the Vikings in 2019?
Step the hell up. He's the number one option, and Josh Allen is on the ascend. And listen, Daboll understands, the offensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, how devastating Stephon Diggs is to opposing defenses. And listen, every week we were on NFL Live waiting for somebody to figure out how in the hell were they going to stop Stephon Diggs from wrecking the game. And guess what? They couldn't. And they not going to do it this year either. Stephon Diggs is stepping up once again, and Buffalo will be right there in the end vying for a chance to go play in the Super Bowl out of the AFC.
Well, let's stick with the Bills. No quarterback saw a larger increase in total QBR than Josh Allen last season, improving his ratings by over 30 points. It's unprecedented. Allen went from ranking 24th in total QBR in 2019 to ranking third this past season. Let's talk about Allen a little bit. Mina, you expect him to step up and play at the MVP level again?
So, Laura, this is my first step down. I guess it's our only step back. But I want to be clear, I'm not hating. I still think Josh Allen is going to be tremendous. But the leap he took last season, going from a below-average quarterback in the NFL his first few seasons of the league to being one of the five best quarterbacks, a viable MVP candidate, was historically unprecedented. Yeah. So for him to step up this year would mean he's better than Patrick Mahomes. Like, that is the territory he is in right now. A lot of things went right for the Bills in terms of health and some of the conditions around him. I will say I am optimistic about him because they kept that offensive line, those skilled players, and most importantly, Brian Daboll, their offensive coordinator, who I thought for sure was a goner after last year. So I still think Josh Allen is going to be a tremendous quarterback. I just don't think it's realistic to expect him to improve this year.
Okay, I'm with you, MK. I had to hear you, because when I heard step up, I was like, he's shown that he can be elite. But to your point, like, I don't expect Josh Allen to be the best quarterback in the NFL next year, but I do expect him to be in the MVP conversation once again. I think once you unlock that ability to know that you can dominate in the NFL, especially for a quarterback, and you keep that offensive coordinator intact and you have your weapons coming back and there's full buy-in from your franchise and organization, the type of confidence that Josh Allen is going to step on the field with this year will be more than he did last year. It'll be a tougher road, though, because I want to remind every damn body, the New England Patriots will not go silently into the night this year in this division. The Miami Dolphins, based on what Tua Tagovailoa does at the quarterback spot, could legitimately ball this year because that defense, we know, look, they got to get Xavier Howard's situation fixed and to get his contract. He should be the highest paid cornerback, but that's for another day. And then the Jets. Like, the Jets are young. I don't expect them to have a lot of success, but you can't take them lightly. I expect Josh Allen to play great. It'll just be a tougher role than he had last year.
You know, it was remarkable the chemistry that Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs created, because it wasn't a traditional offseason, certainly.
Kind of like us.
Yeah, right? Kinda we never like got us. To be together, but yet we still love each other so much. I mean, that was really them. They actually created their chemistry over playing video games together and having a big competition back and forth. Oh. They also do the hearts to each other. But, Mina, when you think about Daboll, and you mentioned it, I think it's incredibly important. Everyone thought he was going to get a head coaching job somewhere else. They were able to hold on to him there. How much do you worry about defenses adjusting to what Daboll did, and what are some things offensively scheme-wise that he could do to maybe counteract that on his end?
Well, there's not much you can do in terms of adjustments to a quarterback like Josh Allen, who has a cannon for an arm and is a threat to run the ball and has become accurate, and then a wide receiver like Stephon Diggs, who can shred both man and zone coverage, as well as the rest of the group as well. But what you can do defensively, and you did see some groups do this, is try to compel Buffalo to run the ball. Drop back into too high, you know, and basically challenge them to do that, and because you'd rather give up, you know, those 4 to 6 yard carries than have Josh Allen shred you downfield. And I think for Daboll, it's not about running the ball more. It's just about having that as a changeup, which was something that was missing in the AFC Championship.
Yeah. All right, let's do one more thing before we go, guys. Josh Allen had a little bit of a tough moment here with the first pitch. First pitches can sometimes be difficult. There he is. He's going to throw out the first pitch. Toronto Blue Jays jersey on. All right, 1, 2, 3. He got the leg kick going. Oh, boop, boop. All right, you know what? It wasn't that bad. Oh, yeah. It was a little outside, though.
It does hit the ground.
He bounced it.
He bounced it.
Ah. Anybody? Oh, no. Oh, you guys aren't doing this to me.
Yes.
You guys are not doing this to me. Who did this?
Where's the video?
Oh, my Lord.
Get the horn back.
Yeah, you know
what?
You know what?
I'm going to give you a pass. I'm going to give you a pass because this is before I knew you.
I know we got video.
I know we got video.